Mundus podcast.
But yes, obviously we lost John Pertwee, with Planet of the Spiders, and then we went into Robot.
Do it again.
Robot!
Good one.
With Tom Baker. Yes, the robot was a bit cack when you had the kind of, you know, go through the streets and all that sort of thing, but a good first story.
You may say the robot was cack, but we've seen the robot in the flesh, in the metal, in the panel work. And it's actually quite impressive.
I think, Ian, have you seen it at the Doctor Experience?
Yeah, I must have seen it. I was thinking, have I seen that? Yeah, I have seen it, yeah.
And it was quite intimidating in person.
It reminded me a bit of Maximilian from The Black Hole.
Yeah, it looked a lot more impressive when it wasn't clanking about.
Yeah.
I think, stationary, it was far more impressive.
I think the thing is, you see, we couldn't see through it when we were there. When it's on the telly, it's almost invisible.
The CSO.
Yeah.
But no, it was for a first story, because generally first stories are a bit clunky and you kind of not quite, you can't quite get with the character and stuff like that. It worked and it's fun. I don't think I own it on DVD yet. I think
I do. I got it from the Doctor Who Experience, weirdly, and I think it's a good one. You can tell it was written with Pertwee in mind, like a couple of those stories were at the start of that series.
Well, I think
they?
Most of that season was already commissioned.
Is it holdovers?
By Barry Letts. In fact, Robot was still produced by Barry Letts.
It was, yeah.
Not Hinchcliffe. He tagged on for that one, and just sort of learned the ropes, because Hinchcliffe was only 29, I think, when he took over the role as producer.
He still looks good now, though, doesn't he?
He does. He's one of only two classic series producers that are still alive. There's him and Derek Sherwin. The rest are all dead.
Oh, yeah, Derek Sherwin, yeah.
Because Barry Letts, there's a thing on 4Extra. I think it's repeated now, like on a weeknight. But that was all about his life and Doctor Who and stuff like that. I think it was based on the book that he did. That was really interesting, Barry Letts' story.
Who and me?
Do you know
Barry
what?
Yeah.
I tried
read by me. Barry Letts.
I tried to listen to it on the radio and it bored me senseless.
I loved it. I found it quite relaxing. He's got quite a very relaxing voice.
Yeah.
It relaxed me to sleep.
He did have.
Well, yeah, he's very relaxed now.
Too relaxed.
As relaxed as you can get.
Sarge, get off that bag.
And he then dumps bags. I enjoyed Ark in Space. Gotta be honest with you, it was a fun little run around a spaceship thing. You know,
which one's Ark in Space?
Ark in Space is the Wirren, the big blue balls.
We have seen it, haven't we?
We've seen it. In fact, the last time we watched the Ark in Space was when the missus was having contractions with J&T. We thought we'd watch something to take our minds off it, so we watched the first three episodes of the Ark in Space, and then
did the trick.
The contractions were getting quite sort of close together, so we thought, we probably ought to try and get some shut-eye before the floodgates open. We got to bed, and I was just drifting off, and the waters broke all over the bed.
Oh.
And that was it. So we had to watch the final part with J&T having been thunked into the world. So it'll always have a special place in my heart.
Oh. Is that the one where it was quite touching, that wasn't it? Is that the one where the TARDIS light, the police... public call box light flashes.
That's right. So yeah, it says police at the top, and that flashes.
Yeah, we noticed that.
It's also the first visit to Nerva Beacon.
Yeah. Indeed. Yeah, you've kind of used that quite a bit, like.
You know? We nerved it up to. when I came to record that sting, I want something a bit Doctor Who-y, and all I could think of was mining vessels, and then I was, where would it be broadcasting from? And I had a vague memory of something called Nerva, and it went down in history.
Yeah, it has.
The next one I'm not a massive fan of. Everyone, two parters I'm always a bit sceptical of, and I think a lot of people really like it, but I'm always a bit about the Sontoran Experiment.
I think it's I quite enjoy it, because it's a two-parter. You can kind of, they always felt a bit flimsy, the old two-parters, didn't they?
Yeah.
But I like it. It was a tall Sontoran, I think.
No, still short Sontoran.
You've got Tom Baker and his broken arm.
He did, he broke his arm, because it was all on location, on the moors.
And it's good fun to spot the bits where he's he's wrapped up in his scarf like a sling. And also you get the great Sontaran deflation.
Yes.
That'd be a good episode title, the Sontaran deflation.
Oh, they're going to steal it. Moffat will be listening.
Too late. I've written it in my head. And it was written by Bob Baker and Dave Martin, who invented K9, wasn't it?
It was.
This is a fact.
We all got the same Wikipedia page open.
Indeed we have. Oh, God, everyone's going to go, they're bloody good, you know, they know everything. And then you go, oh, shit, they've got the old web browser open. And the next one's written by Terry Nation. Yeah, obviously. But no, it's also, I think it's important to say as well, I do actually really like the character of Harry as well. And I think a lot of people have this kind of soft spot for him because he wasn't in the show that long either, was he?
No, I liked him because he was Mr. Action Man, wasn't he? But yeah, they realised fairly early on that Tom Baker was fairly action-y himself, so they didn't really need him.
Harry!
I placed my foot on a landmine.
I can't do that impression anymore. I only did it the once.
Couldn't do it once.
I should also point out that I was born about 2-3 weeks after Planet of the Spiders aired, so this series of Doctor Who was the first while I was alive.
Oh, that's nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
How old are you?
Nice touch.
He's quite old, isn't he, Ian?
Not as old as Ian.
He's pretty well. I'm 82, so you know, obviously well ahead. But yeah, 37. Wow, look at you.
Yeah, I know. Go me.
Yeah. You know, it's, you know a lot about the world. Well, I did a podcast last night with Danny, your little friend Danny Davies. Yes. And
Don't say Davis. It like I love
your little friend. Your special friend.
You love him. No, but
he's
no,
not been in touch since I dropped his cakes in the park.
Oh, jeez. That's what they're like, you see, these... He's from near Glastonbury, you see, and that's what they're like down there. You know?
They're all running around without the kicks, aren't they? Scummers.
But, yeah, we did it about the 1990s, and that was good. We did it in an hour, and we managed to condense the best of the 1990s into that. That was really cool.
Yeah, I think that's probably... Yes. You probably could cut down the 90s into just 1 hour, I reckon.
I remember it as being just an hour.
Yeah, but that's for reasons.
But I don't know why I started that sentence. It wasn't relevant to something else. But never
it
mind.
Wasn't relevant to something else.
But obviously the next one is described as a bit of a classic, Genesis of the Daleks. I don't think anyone would say it's rubbish, because if they are, they probably can't see or hear.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what I would say about it on a negative note.
It's a bit long.
Six-parter, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yes, it is, yeah.
It would have made a better four-parter. I think there's a bit too much running about in maybe episode 4 and 5.
Yeah, there was a bit of corridor work, wasn't there?
Yeah. Oh, God. Chewing gum stuck on my nose.
You've got chewing gum stuck on your nose. What have you done that for?
I put it on to put you off. I was going to put you off.
It didn't put me off, but it stuck to your nose.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's okay.
What flavour is it, by the way?
It's Airwaves. Oh, it's the only stuff to have. I'm hooked on Airwaves. I've got an Airwaves habit.
When I was a kid, there was I don't know if you had this as well, but obviously Hubba Bubba was like the cool one and all that, right? Mm-hmm. We had this thing called a Softy. It was called Softy, and it was bigger than your normal Hubba Bubba, probably about 3 times the size of it, and the flavors were pretty similar, except they had pineapple flavor, which was a bit but people used to actually sell just one of them for about 15 pence. These guys must have been making so much money. This is about 1994, so it's madness.
What, is this in a shop, or just people around the bike sheds?
This is a school wandering about, you know, they're just kind of doing some softy, you know. And it's like, like, you know, they open up their jacket like a cockney sort of salesman, you know.
Got a load of softy in there. I don't know if you're telling us the truth.
But ironically enough, it wasn't really soft, it was pretty tough, so...
Yeah. And it was 4 times the size of an average Hubba Bubba.
Yeah, it was massive. Yeah. But 50,
in width as well as everywhere.
Oh, yeah, they were massive. They were like big tablets of chewiness.
Sounds quite a good value for 15p, really. Yeah.
Well, it is, but when you know how much they actually cost, say 5 or 6 of them in a pack would probably be 30-odd pence or something, and they're charging you like 15 pence for one.
Yeah.
Madness.
So would you chuff down a whole lot then in one go, or would you like you use the school guillotine to slice it up into Hubba Bubba size?
And then he'd deal them out.
And then deal them out.
Yeah, 10p a go.
Cutting it down.
Yeah.
You would have to have it on a break, because you would have the one, but you wouldn't be able to talk. You know, because it was like you basically your jaw would be fucked for about 10 minutes.
I know, that's why I took mine out and stuck it on my nose. But I wish I hadn't.
Yeah, you shouldn't have done that.
Because I feel as though I've broken up the flow of the podcast now.
You have.
Oh, there's no flow. There's no flow.
Genesis of the Daleks.
Geniasis of the Daleks. That's how I say it.
Introduction of Davros.
Yeah,
is
Michael.
Is it a good or bad thing? Is it a good or bad thing having Davros in the show? Who knows?
Michael Wisher. Michael Wisher. Mm. He's the only time you played him. I think he is the definitive Davros.
Mm.
I like him a lot.
Yeah, crazy.
Of course, Michael Wisher used to do the Dalek voices during the Pertwee era.
Did he?
Yeah. That is a fact.
Oh, right. Little
that's
fact.
Not many episodes, really, is it? Because they were only in twice, weren't they, in the Pertwee era?
Three times.
What were the episodes? Death,
Day of the Daleks, and Planet of the Daleks.
Planet of the Daleks, because it just kind of was a bit boring.
Planet of the Daleks is all right. That's the one with Wisher in, I think.
I don't know. The problem is there's certain ones which I get on DVD and think it's going to be great. And then so I got at Christmas I got Colony in Space.
Oh dear.
Jeezy, crazy. I was waiting for the master to come in, and I was like, come on, man, hurry! I'm wandering around a quarry here. You know?
Normally the master makes things better, but he doesn't in that one, does he?
He doesn't know why he's there, really. He's like, what
these aliens
here?
With the fabulous heads, though. They got massive heads in that.
Yeah, they've got some bizarre heads, but then there's a bit where this kind of the master of these people comes out of a basically like a wardrobe. It just goes all right, and I was like, "What?" He's like a Sills brother from the Colin Baker era. You know, he's just like. I don't know. I didn't get any of that, so that's not going to be in me. Because I've just done a Mondas where I talk about the best of the classic era in terms of the episodes, and I said, "Oh well, Colony in Space is coming on DVD to my house soon." So, and I was thinking it's going to be top 10. It's not. It's not even.
What Colony?
Colony in Space is no. It's not going to be anywhere near the top 10.
Jesus. No.
No, but that's a sidetrack. But yeah, Genesis of the Daleks, I think it deserves a status. And you're probably right, it's probably a bit long, but I think they're still in the era, the hang up with like 7 episodes and some of the Pertwee ones. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's like, they probably think, yeah, just do a 6-parter, it'd be great. But I think Davros gradually got more kind of overused and a bit annoying as the series went on. But I think in this episode, it's kind of, it works, you know, and it's not too much, is it?
Well, he wasn't completely ineffective yet, was he?
No.
You know, he hadn't been beaten every time that we'd seen him, so he was still quite a threat. Whereas if you look at sort of Remembrance of the Daleks, he was just a pussy.
Well, I think he was awful. In Destiny of the Daleks, he was dreadful, because there was a different guy playing him. Michael Wisher couldn't make it back, so there's this guy doing a really poor Michael Wisher impression. But then I thought we got better as Terry Molloy took over.
Is Destiny of the Daleks the one with Romana 2?
Yes, Romana 2.
Regenerated.
With the really wobbly Daleks who are all sellotaped up because they've not been stored properly.
Yeah. You know what the deal was with that episode? When I got on DVD, I was expecting some really good, and then I just got really some really camp people with wigs on.
What were they called, the Mavellans.
Mavellans, yeah, I didn't really know. I mean, I just felt really sorry for, because one of the blokes I remembered from like a TV drama in the 80s, and he just looked really awkward with this like white wig on, running about, and I just thought, well, what is happening? Yeah, you know, it's not scary, it's not fashionable, you know.
Yeah. It looked like something from a Doctor Who parody, didn't it? It was straight out of Spike Milligan.
Yeah.
Or Parody Towers.
I've just been watching The Chase. I won't go on about that too much.
I like that. Yeah.
Chase is hilarious. Mm. But in the extras, there's a bit on sort of Dalek history on screen, and they're talking about Destiny of the Daleks, and they were out in a quarry with the Daleks, and they couldn't get them to run straight on the sand. Obviously, classic problem from Remembrance of the Daleks, or tottering along the streets. So rather than putting boards down, they got the guys inside. They took the bottoms off, and they got the guys inside just to sort of hitch them up. You're like a woman hitches up their skirt to sort of get across a puddle. Hitch them up ever so slightly, and then walk them along. Hence, you get this kind of wobbly, sort of teetering Daleks.
A Dalek that looks like it doesn't quite want to put its toe in the pool in case it's cold.
Slightly bobbing up and down from side to side. Awful, awful. What were they thinking?
The next one, Revenge of the Cybermen, I've actually, it was filmed at Wookiee Halls, wasn't it? The caves.
famously referred to in season one of the League of Gentlemen.
Yeah, indeed. And I've actually been when I was a kid as well. I enjoyed it, and I didn't know about the significance at the time. But yeah, because I was only about five or something. But I do enjoy Revenge. I think it was enjoyable, and I remember there's some kind of nice, cool kind of on a little boat in the water sequences in around the caves. That was quite cool as well. Yeah, quite enjoyable.
Do you know, I read the novel of Revenge of the Cybermen before I saw it, and I think I was a little bit disappointed when I saw the serial.
I don't think it's as bad as people make out, but I don't like the Cybermen shooting from their head. No. You know, they sort of lean forward. And it comes out of their head.
Don't do that.
I don't.
Settling that.
What a noise. Should I do it again?
Yeah, I'm
going to get that. It's very good, actually. I know exactly what you mean.
That's the noise.
Yeah, I'm gonna try. I'll sample it and kind of loop it somewhere, you know, and just freak kids out.
You know? Have it as your text message alert
on your BlackBerry.
I've got an Android baby. Oh yeah.
Ooh, is it touch screen?
You've got an Android baby. What are you doing having sex with robots?
Well, Android Invasion's on soon, so you know when we're going to be talking about that. But yeah, I've got a touchy screeny, and it's the future. It is the future.
What did you have previous to that? Was it Nokia 3210?
Oh, it was a crappy. Well, I'll just get it now. What was it? Was a Sony Ericsson. Just for you mobile aficionados. W395, and it was basically just your standard sort of like 20 quid sort of typey crap thing, and it had the interweb, and that was about it.
They're really good at naming things nowadays, aren't they? Like cars and keyboards, and everything's got really real snappy serial number names. RTV is a /90B://
Trips off the tongue, doesn't it?
It's wonderful.
I think that's the serial number. I don't think that's the model.
Yeah, that's
Ian, I have noticed that your spelling has improved since you got your touch screen.
Are you joking?
Yes.
Well, the amount of like mistakes, I mean, it's terrible because I don't have particularly fat paws or anything. Do you know what I mean? I'm not like one of them sort of fat people who's kind of like having problems like typing because their digits are too big. It's not like that.
Take your gloves off.
Do you proofread? Yeah, exactly, you know. Do you proofread your text before you send them off?
But I've got is a proofread, and then there's another layer thinking, who am I sending it to? Can I get away with it? Will they understand? Will they be all like, who's this? Why have you spelled it like that badly or something? You know, it's. I think some people can get away with it, and then
you can't get away with it with Harry.
He understands, you know, it's fine.
No, sometimes I don't understand, but I have to just guess at what you're asking me and reply in kind.
I don't ask you that cryptic questions.
You do.
How was your car? I mean, that's hardly a cryptic.
No, you didn't say how was your car. You went, how you car? So what's this for? Who's this for? Whose car?
That's just rubbish. I couldn't really put an S on the end. Jeez.
How you car? I don't know.
You don't pay by the letter, you know, Ian.
Not anymore.
I know. I guess the thing is, I get free text messages, so I could have put in three different messages. You know, how you car? that's genius. I'll have to do more of them things. You know, make different sort of inanimate objects, like how you bike.
You know, I don't know. If you notice as well, it took me about 12 hours to respond. I did. I had to work it out quite carefully.
You sent it to me for analysis.
Yeah. Get that. It's very good, actually. I know exactly what you mean.
Mondes Podcast. 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 Mondes Podcast.